Amen. Let's remain standing as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. I'd like to ask Brother Charles Hunt if you would please lead us in a word of prayer.
Father in heaven, we bow in your presence and we thank you for the grace that you've given us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift of the indwelling Spirit of God. We thank you for Bethel Baptist Church and 50 years of ministry in Christ in their midst.
Yes.
We thank you for the word of God and the message we heard concerning it, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, for all that you give us through your word. We just pray your blessing on those that are yet to speak, that you might be glorified and that you might be honored. And we just pray you continue to bless Bethel Baptist Church and the pastor. And we thank you for Brother Crace and the testimony of the church. Lord, may you be glorified and honored in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Before Brother Myers comes and preach to us, we do have a couple of specials. Brother John Haynes will bring a special to us first. As he comes up and prepares to play his special, was there anybody that came prepared to sing a special that was not able to get a hold of me today? No hands. Good.
I'm like John, I have two pairs of glasses. Not as old as her, so I only have two pairs of glasses.
Ditto.
Southern gospel style. So if this is not your style, that's okay. We'll pray for you.
Right.
Thank you.
and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Well, it's still good to see all of you here. You know, we talked about giving, we're taking attendance. We'd like for you to write your name down. And I thought about everybody in attendance would get $100. And then I thought, no, yeah, that's a pretty good idea. Because I've been here all week. And then I said, you know, they're actually getting something much more valuable than money.
Amen.
You know, by being here, you're hearing the Word of God, you're getting in fellowship with good people, and hearing the prayers and the songs. And
good food.
And what a good food.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for being here. It's something like this young lady was at a wedding, and she saw that the bride was in white, and she said to her mom, "Why is it the bride is wearing white? We just had a wedding back in June, and our little bride wore white. She sung for you while ago." And the mom said, "You know, white's a symbol of purity and joy and happiness and all things good." The little girl thought for a moment and said, "Then why was the groom in black?" We don't know. All right, brother.
What's the answer?
You have to answer that for yourself. I know I've been married 55 years, and it's been good.
Amen.
All 55 years of it. And I thought I was almost perfect, but I come to find out I'm not. But it's good to have all of you here, especially Brother Justin now. Justin is a grandson-in-law of Brother Hobbs, and that's how we kind of, we tied this together. I wish I could have gotten more preachers. I know a lot of preachers, and there are some that would have been here if they could, and could have been here if they would. And I thought, how am I going to decide? But Brother Cornette was on my ordination board. Brother Ronnie was one of my teachers. And Brother Morton was the inspiration. He preached at Bethany Baptist Church back in 1975. He was just a baby. I mean, just a little feller. And it inspired me to, the Lord began to convict me. And later on, the Lord saved me under Brother Hobbs' ministry.
Amen.
And during this time, Brother, all the brethren have something to do with the ministry of this church.
Yeah.
Brother Hobbs was instrumental in helping organize this church back in 1970. And so that just kind of came together like this. And it's been a blessing to have each and every one of you with us. There's been a lot going on the last 40 years that I've been here. And I pray that God will continue to bless. And you know, about the time you're ready to quit, all you pastors relate to this. It seems like God just brings something along to encourage you and to keep you going. And if he wants you to keep going. He may not, but he, in this case, he's had us going. So. But this is why Brother Justin's going to preach for us, and I want him to come now and bring the message the Lord's laid on his heart, Brother Justin. We just recently buried Brother Hobbs, so we miss him. Miss him.
It is an honor to be able to stand before you all once again. It's been maybe only my second time, I think, here. And so it is... I was like, what I do? I'm already in trouble.
First one.
Got it. but it is a joy. And thank the church. I've already noticed, I may have made this observation last time, there is no clock. Like nothing. I see exit, so I'll try to keep an eye on what I've got going on here. So I wanted to get up and say that I am probably the youngest preacher on the program. But after hearing all of you guys, I don't think I can say probably. I think I am the youngest preacher on this program. Maybe by far. But praise the Lord that this church, Bethel Baptist, has been here for 50 years. What a honor and a blessing that is, and to be here in this community, and then for your pastor and his wife to have been serving here for 40 years. What a honor and joy that is, and it was a great blessing for me to be able to see the church here give honor to their pastor and his wife. I recently celebrated 10 years at Mount Vernon at Grace Baptist Church, where we pastor, and the church overwhelmingly surprised my wife and I, and I don't know how you were able to hold back tears. They just came out, and I couldn't stop. it just, you don't expect it. I know when he says that, if you all are thinking that we do expect it, we don't expect anything at any time, and so when a church honors their pastor and his wife in that way, it is a great and wonderful blessing to see that, and to see churches knowing the importance of that. And so also, it's a great joy to have some of our members with us from Grace Baptist, not only my family that has traveled with me, but Brother Matt and Sister Loy and their children. We're so glad they were able to make the trip and be here, so the Lord bless them for that. And then to see Sister Pennington, oh, what a joy that is for me. And if I look at her, I get emotional. I'm telling you, I thought that came with age, and now I'm learning I'm not there old yet. Well, I still get emotional, so I'm not going to look that way. But Brother, Sister Pennington is just an amazing, wonderful woman. Brother Pennington was, he had a big part in Heather and I's courtship there at the church in Cortland, Virginia. And just... so many fond memories you can give of him, and then to now be here, I don't want to use the word kind of representing some of Brother Hobbs. That's a lot of big shoe to fill, so I don't want to say that, but we miss these brethren, Brother Pennington, Brother Hobbs, many others that we could name. Remember hearing Brother Pennington sing that Scarlet Purple Rose, any of you? Remember that, I'm sure. That was a joy. And of course, Brother Hobbs enjoyed and loved his Lord so much, and singing for his Lord and preaching. And this is just a joy. So thank you for having me. And we are excited to be here. And so I would like to ask that we would open our Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you're able, would ask that you stand as I read the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'll read a lengthy portion, but don't concern yourself. I don't plan on preaching each verse, so don't worry, it'll be okay. But I want to go ahead and read all of these verses to you, beginning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and the 14th verse. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Let us look to our Lord once again in a word of prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your love to us, mercy and grace, and watch care over us. We are thankful, our Father, again for the opportunity and the privilege that it is to be in the house of the Lord for Bethel Baptist Church and her pastor. We thank you, our Father, for the messages that we heard already today from Brother Cornett and Brother Wolf. And I pray, Father, that you would make those messages, that they would make a resting and lodging place in our hearts, that we would leave here encouraged and knowing the responsibility that we have a work to do. Father, I pray that you would be with me as thy servant. May you give me liberty and ability to present thy word in truth and in love. Forgive us of our sins. May thy will be done in these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. I'll title the message, The King is Coming. Amen. The King is Coming. Around the first of the year, I start thinking about a lot of things, and usually those things come out of messages. I don't know, you pastors, I'm sure that happens to you as you're thinking about things. They typically come out in messages. I started in January, we were thinking about in our church how God can use us in 2020. And then I preached about setting spiritual priorities. And then I wanted for us to have what I called 2020 vision in 2020. That was kind of a neat message if you want to know what that was about. I just took all chapter 20s and the 20th verse in each of the 20, you know, for not every book has a 20th chapter. So if a book had a 20th chapter, then I took the 20th verse and I preached about that. Don't know, just kind of a weird thought, right? But anyway, so then I went from that and I started thinking about the King and the Lord Jesus Christ and how he's coming. Now I want you to know that I preached this message again back in January, and I have exactly what I said. I said, beloved, the King is coming, and 2020 could be the year our blessed Savior's return. And that was way before March and all of COVID broke out, you know? And so if we were even partially thinking that the King could come, and we should be thinking that all the time, right? Look up for your redemption, draweth nigh. How much more so do many of us believe or know or think or hope that the Lord is certainly coming after the events of everything we've been having fun with and dealing with since March of 2020. But the reality is, back in January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. That's pretty cool. I know all of my months. You're pretty proud of me right now, aren't you? Next month is October. All of those months are good months to think about the return of the Lord. Every one of them is good. We can think about the King is coming no matter what is going on in our lives. And we can be comforted, those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our only and all-sufficient Savior, that when he comes, if we know him, more importantly, he knows us, right? That we get to go forever to be with him. So what a blessed thing to think about when we think about the King is coming. I love thinking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. To know that our Savior is coming to take me to be with him before he pours out his wrath upon this entire world. You see, we think it's bad now, and it's not fun, I get that, but we're still here, and we're still worshiping the Lord, and we're still singing, and we're still praising, and we're still driving, and we're still getting to go places, right? We haven't been told we can't. Well, Not in the message. This was in January, okay? But we can always be excited and thinking about the blessed return of our Lord. I'm excited to know that my King is coming. I'm excited to know that this could be the year. And so again, I want to encourage all of God's children to look up, to know that our redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
Look up. So I hope we'll bless you a little bit with that and the thoughts that the King is coming. I first of all, as we get started, I want to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ is the King I'm speaking about.
Amen.
And so we're going to start with that. Secondly, I want to tell you that the Lord's coming will be personal. And then thirdly, there is going to be a little challenge to the message, right? So the third part of the message is that the Lord's coming back should cause us to prepare. There is still a work to do, and that's already been talked about a little bit. So those are all subjects. Those are the points to this subject. So the King that I'm speaking about, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King. And so before I tell you more about the King's return, I want to clearly establish that it is the Lord Jesus Christ that is King. Oh, it's true, and I know this. He's not regarded as king right now, but that does not mean that our Savior is not king. He's still king, whether or not he's regarded as king. He is the King. It says in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 15 and 16. This is a faithful saying. Where do I want to be? Chapter 6, that was chapter 1, so that was really close. Y'all awake after lunch? I'm doing fine, don't you worry. 1 Timothy 6, 15 and 16, I told somebody I needed some coffee to make sure I had enough energy. I didn't tell Brother Chris that. I will calm down, I'll get into it, I'll be fine. 1 Timothy 6, 15 and 16, and the Word of God says, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. It is only God that is in charge of any earthly king or any earthly man. These titles that we read in 1 Timothy 6 are reserved for our blessed King, that is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, we pointed out in the text, though the time of Christ's appearing is unknown, yet the thing itself is certain. You see, God will bring it about and make it manifest in his own time, in the time that is fixed and appointed only by God. Only God knows the exact time of the return of his blessed Son, the King Jesus Christ. God knows that time. I don't know that time. Back in January, I thought, man, this would be a great time for the return of the Lord. Amen. Now would be a great time. And if the Lord allows us to live next week, it'll be a great time. And there's never a bad time for the return of the Lord. I'm looking forward to it. The King is coming, folks. The Bible says that our King is the only potentate or governor of this world, which can be said of none other but of himself. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the one for whom we'll receive our crowns that we will cast at his feet. He is the King. Jesus Christ, our Lord, did not just receive this title. He is the title. He is King. And I want to encourage you, at least as we again are starting here, on this day and in this message, to know that you serve the King of kings.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the Lord. It is our King of kings that tells us that he has the world in the palm of his hands. He is the one that cares for us and loves us. And then, of course, we can see here the book of Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19. We read about our King. Revelation 19, beginning in verse 9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Verse 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. That's the King I'm speaking about that is coming back. And his name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so now that we establish, and again, we can deeply establish that, but now, very quickly, I want to get into the second part of the message, and I want to let you know that the Lord's coming will be personal. It'll be personal. Turn, if you will, back to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I read to you again verses 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Listen, beloved, don't be walking around as if you're one of those, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, as one of those that has no hope. Because the Bible says, and Brother Cornette pointed out a lot of these, you know, contrasts and the buts and the things that are in there, because it says, for if we believe, so do you today believe this, and if you're saved, I trust that you do, that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen to this. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Do these words comfort you this afternoon? Are you comforted in the fact that Jesus Christ, the King, is coming?
Amen.
If you know him as your Lord and Savior, I trust they are a comfort to you. If you know him not, I trust that they trouble you.
Right.
And we'll talk about that in that third part of the message. So first and foremost, if I've not made it clear yet, you need to understand that Jesus Christ is coming back. And he will be taking his children to be forever with him. So first, in the second part, I do that, I don't know why. The first part of the second part of my message is that it will be sudden. We will be caught up. That is, to be snatched away, to be seized by force. I'm looking forward to that catching up. I'm looking forward to the Lord taking me forever to be with him. You see, when the Lord comes, it will be a sudden event. One moment we'll be living life as normal. The next moment we'll be with him in the air. Don't believe me? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Tells us all about it. God's word is just so wonderful. We can just see so much in it. In 1 Corinthians 15, I won't even read much here, just verses 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. It's such a glorious thing. And of course, we could go on and we could read about the victory that is in Jesus Christ. But praise the Lord. Now, I want you to see this again in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Consider this. The average duration for a single blink of the human eye is 0.1 to 0.4 seconds, or 100 to 400 milliseconds. Now, there's no clock here. But, by comparison, the tick sound made by a clock lasts about 1 second. So it would be possible to blink 3 times during the single tick of a talk. Tick of a talk. Tick of a clock. Dr. Seuss, my kids are older. I shouldn't be doing that anymore. But I am. And it'll be in that amount of time that our Lord is coming to take the dead and alive with him. Just amazing. That's what I meant. One moment we're going to be living life as we are now. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that's quick. You know? That the Lord is going to come back. So it'll be sudden. Secondly, it'll be selective. This is a maybe harder part of the message. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ isn't coming for everyone. And I know that's hard to hear. Yes, he's coming. But he's coming only for those who have been saved by the grace of Almighty God. And there are many that are going to expect to go, but they're not going to make that trip. It says in the book of Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 and 22. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh, such sobering words, beloved. People can think it's a joke and laugh about it now, but those words will be said to so many that have been deceived or tricked into thinking that they're okay. Yeah. And the blood of all of those folks that have been tricked or deceived into thinking they've been okay, it's going to be upon those that have tricked or deceived them into thinking that they have been okay. But to hear the words from the King of Kings that will say, depart from me. And that he won't say with the emotion like I just did, because our Lord is perfect in everything that he says and does. But I'm a man of emotion. And those are very sober. Depart from me. I never knew. So when the Lord, when I say his coming will be personal, it absolutely will be. He's coming for his children. Yeah. He's coming for his children. It's all about salvation, folks. Those that have been born again, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Right. When I see the blood, those that have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their only, listen, only, an all-sufficient Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the only way. And I want you to know, if I don't make it clear anywhere else in the message, that Jesus saves. Amen. I want you to know that Jesus saves. Over and over again in the Scriptures, we can read to you that Jesus saves by his grace. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are you saved. In Acts chapter 16, the Bible tells us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There's no trickery there. I'm not the one that saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And he's able to save today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. John 3:16. And then all of them, certainly I should turn to them in case I misquoted the word of God. Never want to do that. But Romans, right? Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Isn't that awesome? It says in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now I don't know who the whosoever are, but God does. And if he calls on you and he causes you to repent of your sins and causes you to call upon his name, you're part of that whosoever.
That's right.
Because you can't do it yourself anyway. So if you've ever been concerned about who's part of the whosoever, if it is God Almighty that has given you the ability to call upon his name and trust in him, you're a part of that whosoever.
Amen.
So it's going to be sudden. It's going to be selective. It's going to be serious. The rapture will be serious because, as I've just said, as the scriptures teach us, only the redeemed will go. everyone else will be left behind to face the horrors of the tribulation period. That tribulation period, which we won't expound on that right now, that's 7 years where God will pour out his wrath upon this fallen, sinful world. But again, remember the Lord Jesus Christ saves. The last thing I want you to know about this personal coming of the Lord, listen, the King is coming and it's going to be sensational. Right? So it is all these, it's going to be sudden, it's going to be selective, it's going to be serious. I tell you what, for God's children, it's going to be sensational. Isn't that awesome? I just love that word. The very language of this verse that we read in 1 Thessalonians 4 rings with excitement for the children of God. You can be excited, children of God. It's okay. You can be excited about the coming and the return of the Lord. It's a verse of action. It's a verse of adventure. You know, the Lord sent an angel to announce his birth. He sent an angel to announce his resurrection. The Lord sent his Holy Spirit to convict us of sin and draw us to the Lord Jesus Christ. But in verse 16 and the verses that we read in 1 Thessalonians, when the Lord comes to collect his children, it'll be the Lord himself. You read that? Isn't that awesome? It's the Lord himself. The Lord, the voice, the angel, and the trump. All of which will be so exciting for us as believers. Yes, it'll be quick in the twinkling of an eye. But you can know the King is coming. Thirdly, when I say thirdly, I mean like the third section of the message. Follow along. Because then I have, I only have two sub-points to the third part, so it's not bad. All right. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his coming back, should cause us to prepare. Listen, there is some challenge here for us, folks, okay? I've preached a lot of encouragement, a lot of excitement that the King is coming. It's going to be sensational, but we have a work to do. Back in our text, or around our text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Let me read those to you again. Therefore, okay, so everything that we have learned, right, about the coming of the Lord and comforting ourselves in these words. Now, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night, but let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Amen. Let us, that is, God's children, those that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, let us be sober and do something. That's what it says, putting on the breastplate of faith. So we are to be a people living by faith, right, in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love, from all harm safe in a sheltering arm, I'm living by faith, right?
Amen.
Put on that breastplate of faith. All right, so you're here. You've been such a blessing to preach to, and I've encouraged you, and you're like, yes, I believe the King is coming, and I know Jesus Christ is coming back. I love that message, preacher. You just keep on going. I'm saved, and I know I'm going to be with the Lord forever, but are you preparing for his return? Are you working while you're here? I mean, after all, the Lord told his disciples that he was going to live. Now, watch this. And they were not even around that tomb they had sought to be after. Let me explain it this way. Are you truly living like you believe the Lord Jesus Christ is coming? In Matthew chapter 20, I want to explain this a little bit further out about his disciples. And I think it may hit home for us a little bit. For a long time, the disciples didn't want to come to grips with the fact that the Messiah, the promised King, would suffer and bleed and die and be crucified. They just had a hard time coming to grips with that. And eventually, they came to grips with that. They came to realize that what Jesus Christ was saying of himself came to pass. I'll say it that way. And the Lord Jesus told his disciples that he would come again, that he would live, or he would rise again the third day. In Matthew chapter 20, as you're already there, verse 17, and Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day, he shall rise again. Okay, so again, understand that Jesus Christ, the King, has now directly told his disciples a specific time when he would rise again. You say, why is he making a big deal out of this? I just hold on to that. He told them that he would live. The Lord Jesus Christ was telling the disciples ahead of time so that they would understand when it happened. That when he was crucified, that he would rise again. Now that should have been a consolation and a blessing to them. Okay. Again, they were having a hard time with the fact that the Lord was going to die, that he was going to be betrayed. The very multitude that cried out, you know, his praises and Hosanna in the highest are the very same group that said, crucify him. They were having that hard time. But the Lord just gave them the greatest comfort of all, that he lives. He gave them the comfort that he lives. Now he's given to us as his children that he is coming back. We've already established that. I'm not going to try to go backwards. Got to keep moving forward in the message. That should be a great comfort to us.
Yeah.
Okay? That third day, he's going to rise again. Now, let me give you the evidence that what I read to you in 20, did not sink into the disciples. Turn over to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 8. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to draw or dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said, praise God. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Now watch verse 7. And go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And lo, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Did you catch all that? The disciples, those that were the closest to the Lord. Now, would you agree that Sovereign Grace, Landmark Missionary Baptist, all the little tags we can put on it, we should be the closest, I would say, to the Lord, right? Serving the Lord in his house, being a member of his church, all of those things. Of all people that should really get a grasp on the fact that our King is coming back, it should be us.
That's right.
Okay? The disciples were told directly that on the third day he would rise again. Now, I know there were Roman soldiers around. And I know there were things, but I'm telling you something right now. Here are people that should have been the very closest to the Lord that we can tell we're nowhere close to that too. They were nowhere near. And they were told it would be 3 days. We don't even know how many days. That's not for us to know. But we need to be working while we're here. We know these because of the descriptive words. And go quickly and tell his disciples. So they had to go somewhere quickly. And when they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy and did run. Now listen, it wouldn't take me very long to get to where Brother Crace is, right? I wouldn't have to run to get here. I'm already here.
Right,
I had to run because I got to get somewhere, you know? They weren't close. Did they not believe the words? Do we not believe the words? We're rejoicing. Beginning this message, the King is coming. Did they really believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to rise from the dead? I don't know about you, but maybe they should have been camping out a little bit closer to that tomb, you know? What a sight. They did not. I mean, to me, it just didn't appear. Again, I know there was circumstances, and I don't know if the flies were bad. I don't know what it is. I know there was Roman soldiers around. I don't know. But I think to me it's very clear they weren't very close. We have the knowledge from the Word of God that the King is coming.
Amen.
May we be busy and close to that and doing that work.
Amen.
All right. Again, the Lord's told us over and over, he's coming back in his word. I've recited some of them already. Look at John 14, 1 through 6. May we not be guilty of treating this as the way the disciples treated Matthew chapter 20, right? Matthew 14. Or John 14, it says in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Do you believe that, Baptist? Do you believe a child of God? Do you? He's promised it. The King is coming. All right, two things very quickly, and I'll let you go. We must, as we prepare, we need to prepare by living a holy life before the Lord. That's just the way it is. We can't go on living like the world, right? We gotta live a holy life before the Lord. We can have fun while we're doing it. I love life. I mean, there are parts of life that, and my family and I have church members here, and they're like, okay, Pastor, sometimes. Yeah, I know. Sometimes I don't have that joy of the Lord like I should, but shame on me. That's no fault of God. That's shame on the servant. Right? No shame on the master. So we need to prepare by living holy lives before the Lord. We need to live like we're saved. We need to live like we have that heavenly home that God has promised us. We have a mansion waiting for us. That's awesome. Right? It's awesome. And so if we truly believe that the King is coming back, we would really be doing some of the, if we truly believe that the King is coming back, would we really be doing some of the things that we're doing? Be honest. Listen, if it's hard for you to hear it from me, one day we're going to stand before that King. Right? So just, I'm not doing any of those, you know, point out every sin. I'm just telling you, we need to live a holy life. Amen. The Lord could come back right now. And are we living like the Lord is Lord of our lives? Now, he is. It's just our acknowledgement. Have we acknowledged his lordship in our lives? I think a lot of us and a lot of our churches are very close to living like the church of Laodicea. They were known as that lukewarm church. They were neither hot nor cold. They were lukewarm. Hey, we show up. Oh, we sing. We love the Lord. We're not doing anything about it. Which is better than being extremely cold, I reckon. But it's not, because the Lord had very serious things to say to that Laodicean church. Spew them out. Right? So, all right. I ask, how's your speech? How's your tongue? Are you speaking holy things? We should have a holy mouth, not a worldly mouth. How you dress and the way we dress is an expression of our inward motives and desires. The music that we listen to is an expression of our inward emotions. This young preacher, younger than those that are here anyway, loves singing these hymns. My children singing these hymns, seeing younger people, I'll just say it that way, coming up here singing these hymns. Isn't that awesome? But you're in your 40s. Oh, I'm almost in my 40s. Yeah, when you said 1980 and the church was like 50 years old, I'm thinking, I missed 10 years of my life. Like, it's gone. I don't even know what happened. Because I knew I was turning 40, and you said, Seth, thank you. You fixed it. You did. Yeah. Right? How's this 40-year-old know all these songs? Praise God, he put them on our heart. We're still singing them. Nothing wrong with a little Southern gospel either, brother. It's beautiful.
Amen.
All right? Number 2, and I'll let you go. We're to prepare by not being lukewarm then, okay? We need to prepare by not being lukewarm. Today we see millions of false religions on fire, as it were, for their religion. Muslims, misguided zeal to attack and to do the things that they do, but they're zealous about it, aren't they? Right? You know, Jehovah's Witnesses, they're zealous. They're there, okay? So we're to prepare And we believe that the King is coming. So, again, a majority of our professing Christians, especially in America and Canada and Britain and Australia, we're very lukewarm. I mean, church attendance is way down. Again, preached it in January, way before, well, not way before, but a couple months before COVID, and church attendance was down now. And again, brother said it earlier, Brother Cornette, I believe, 50 years, praise God, they didn't close down. A lot of churches closing down, church attendance way down. If we're really truly on fire for the Lord and knowing that our King is coming, I tell you what, there's no place I'd rather be than in the house of the Lord. And I mean, I'm not just saying that because it sounds good, because preachers have said it throughout the years. I mean, I'm really excited to be in the house of the Lord every single time those doors are open.
Amen.
Each of us must learn to seek God zealously. So yes, the King is coming. May we be found on that day with the Lord saying to us, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant."
Amen.
So I ask, are you camping near that tomb? You know what I mean, right? Are you looking up knowing that our redemption draweth nigh? And then I want you again to know that Jesus saves. I'm praying that the Lord Jesus Christ has made himself known unto you. I thank you for the privilege it's been to preach to you this afternoon.
Amen.
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 Rejoice in that blessed hope, do we not?